Hail, hail to my Satguru, who reunites the separated ones. This is Guru Arjan's Bhajan, Dhan Dhan Satguru, page 154. I have seen the Master, who is exactly like what I had heard of him. He reunites the separated ones. He saves the soul at the court of God and reunites the separated ones. He makes us meditate on the Nam of God. He cuts the disease of ego and reunites the separated ones. Nanak says, God makes those meet Satguru whose union is preordained from Satchkhand. He reunites the separated ones. Hail, hail to my Satguru, who reunites the separated ones.
Dal dana sate guru mera jera vicheriya nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jera vicheriya nu melada. Jesa sate guru sunida. Jesa sate guru sunida. Tasso hi me dita gerda vicheria nu melada. Tasso hi me dita gerda vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera gerda vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jera vicheria nu melada. Vicheria mele prabhu, vicheria mele prabhu, hare dare ga kabasita jera vicheria nu melada. Hare dare ga kabasita jeda vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jeda vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jeda vicheria nu melada. Hare namo mantera de daida. Hare namo mantera de daida. Kate ho me roga jeda vicheria nu melada. Kate ho me roga jeda vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jeda vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jeda vicheria nu melada. Nanak sate guru tina milaya. Nanak sate guru tina milaya. Chinduro piya sanjoga jera vicheria nu melada. Chinduro piya sanjoga jera vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jera vicheria nu melada. Dana dana sate guru mera jera vicheria nu melada.
Hail, hail to my Satguru who reunites the separated ones. And we are reading in the book In Search of the Gracious One, stories and reminiscences of Sanchi in his life of search for the Master, and when he found the Master, his life of doing what the Master asked him to do. So, continuing, Sanchi says, "Once, a dear one came to Master Kripal in our ashram, and he asked the Master why he was not having good meditations. Master asked him if he was having the problem of lust. He said no. Master said, 'Maybe you are having the problem of anger.' He said, 'No, I don't have that problem.' Master asked him about many basic problems, but none of them applied. Finally, Master asked him, 'Are you involved in criticism? Are you criticizing anybody?' And he said, 'No, I don't have such habits.' Then the Master asked him, 'Are you taking part in hearing criticism? When anybody else is criticizing somebody, someone, are you present there?' And he said, 'Yes, I have the habit of hearing criticism.' So Master said that whether you criticize or hear the criticism, it's the same. The one who criticizes and the one who hears the criticism both are sinners, and they both lose." Master Sawan Singh used to speak about criticism very strongly. He would say, "There is no taste in speaking ill of others. There is taste or pleasure in the sense enjoyments, but where is the pleasure in finding fault? But even so, we do not stop it. We are always doing it." He used to say, "If you criticize someone, your good actions will go to his account, and his sins will come to your account, and in that way he will get the blessing." Master Kripal also used to say, "If a satsangi criticizes other people, he will not be forgiven. But if a non-initiate criticizes others, he may be forgiven. A satsangi knows that this is bad, while a non-initiate does not. If we criticize the saints, they do not imitate us. They do not respond to our criticism. Mean persons always present excuses to justify themselves and to prove that they are true. Saints always wait for time because they know that time will tell people what is the truth. One may attend the satsang of any perfect master or read his writing, and you will not find even one single line of criticism of other people. They don't criticize others because they have love and respect for all." Once a dear one came to Master and told him that he didn't get any experience of Nam during the initiation. Master told him to sit in front of him and close his eyes, and when Master was just about to touch his forehead, that dear one realized that it was his own mistake, and he confessed. He told Master, "What can you do? I myself have turned off the light, which I had in my within, by enjoying lust so much in my life. Now my forehead is blackened. There's no light there. How can you manifest light there? I've done this by myself." So Master was also very sorry for him and told him that from now onwards, he should maintain chastity, and then everything would become all right. Guru Nanak has said that when we preserve the vital fluid, Nam gets manifested within us by itself, and light also gets manifested within us by itself. When we preserve the vital fluid, the mind, which is making us wander here and there like a swift horse, becomes still and remains quiet. Light gets manifested in our forehead, and we meet the indestructible God who is present everywhere. If we preserve the vital fluid, if we are celibate, then we will be able to sit for 5-7 hours continuously, and we will come out from that position only when we have to attend the call of nature. There will be no question of getting tired. Our thoughts will not go to any other place. They will not go out of our body. Like the blossom of a rose, our heart will always remain in bloom and be happy. When Master Kripal would put the dear ones into meditation, afterwards he used to ask them what they saw inside. However, I remember that when he would initiate people after coming to my ashram, at the same time he would make some other people sit for meditation on a different side of the tent. Those people would not sit for meditation during the initiation, as they were told to do by the master. But instead they would talk with each other and make jokes and do things like that. When they knew that it was the time for master to come, at once they would sit up in meditation with their eyes closed, pretending that they had been meditating right from the beginning. Afterwards, when master would tell them, "Okay, please leave off, sit comfortably," he would ask the people what they saw inside. And he would ask, "How many people saw the stars? How many people saw moons?" and so forth. The people who talked during the initiation and did not meditate then, but closed their eyes only when master was about to come back, those people would raise both their hands to show that they had seen stars and moons and things like that. Since I used to see all this, I felt very bad. I did not like it very much because I thought, why are these people deceiving the master? Doesn't master know what they are seeing and what experience they are having? It affected my mind so much that since then, I don't like to ask people what they see. Because of that one incident, I do not feel comfortable asking people about their experiences, because I feel that sometimes people try to deceive the masters by lying about what they have seen in meditation. Master Sawan Singh also didn't ask people about their experiences. Guru Gobind Singh said, "All the saints have their own will. They have different wills. Even though they come from the same plane, even though their meditation is the same, they come from the same light, and their instructions are the same, but still they have different wills. They have different ways of doing things." There was one initiate of Master Sawan Singh who used to live in my area. He was a businessman, and he had very large losses in his business. He owed people a lot of money. He was so disappointed with his life that once, when I was going to Karanpur in the jeep, he lay down in front of my jeep. When I saw him there, I stopped the jeep and I asked him why he was doing that. And he said, "I owe people so much money, more than the numbers of hairs on my head. And I've lost my reputation. Unless I get the money to pay the people back, I'm not going to survive. I'm going to commit suicide. Please help me." I told him, "If you had come to me last night, I would have made some arrangement, but I can't do anything right now. I have to go see the master. Give me some time, and tonight I will sell one of the squares of my land, and I will give you something like 500-600 rupees, and you can pay back your debts. Then you won't need to worry about anything." That person listened to me, and he knew I would do that because I had so much love for him, and he knew that I would give him the money. After telling him all this, I went to see Master Kripal. After seeing Master Kripal, I was in a rush, as I had to come back and arrange to sell the land so that I could give the money to that dear one. When I asked Master's permission to leave, he asked me, why was I in such a rush? And I told him about that dear one. Right then, another dear one had come to see Master Kripal, and he had given him a large amount of money, a large donation. At once, Master Kripal gave me that money, and he told me, you can sell the land later on, but take this money and give it to that dear one. Maybe he can use the money. However, I'm sorry to say that before I reached the place where that dear one was, he had already committed suicide. He didn't wait for me. His son met me in Padampur, about 60 kilometers from that place, and he told me about him having committed suicide. The dear one who had come to donate that money to the master must have thought that Master had accepted that donation because he needed the money. But Master didn't keep that money with him, even for a second. He gave it to me, to use for that other dear one. It is possible that if I had reached there in time, if it was meant to be, then that other person's life would have been saved. In that case, the person who had given the money would have earned a good karma for having saved one person's life. But it did not happen. It is possible that Master wanted the money to be utilized in some other cause. Swamiji Maharaj has said, Master is not hungry for your wealth, but he is accepting it for your benefit. He is using your money for the benefit of the hungry and the thirsty. He's feeding the hungry and thirsty with your money, and in that way, he is utilizing your money in the right place. In that way, when you are giving money to him, which he gives to the poor and needy people, you are gaining his pleasure, and when he is pleased, Satpurush is pleased. Kabir Sahib has also said, those who move the rosary without the guidance of the master, and those who give the donations without the guidance of the master, all their efforts are useless, because only the master knows what place or what practice will bring the benefit for the dear ones. The masters know which is the right place that their disciples should donate the money, and that is why the money is donated under the guidance of the master. When the money is donated under the guidance of the master, only then does it bear good fruit for us. Saints are not interested in running big langars, and they're not even interested in building big buildings. They do that only because they want to utilize the money of the dear ones in the right place for the right purpose. Master Sawan Singh used to say, in the langars of the master, the rich people donate from their earnings, which is distributed among the poor and the rich equally. In that way, the earnings of the rich people become successful if used at the right place. My personal experience was that many people wanted to give money to Master Kripal, but only the fortunate ones were allowed to do that. Many other people who had money and wanted to give it to the master were not allowed. There was another dear one, an initiate of Master Kripal Singh, who was an inspector on the police force. He was a very truthful man. He would not accept bribes, and he would always do his job in a good way. Unfortunately, these days, it is the habit of the leaders that unless you accept bribes from people and share with them, they always keep you moving from one place to another, and they make trouble for you with such things as false lawsuits and things like that. They do not like it if you do not take bribes and share it with them. So that police inspector was the victim of poor leaders, and there was a false lawsuit brought against him because he had been determined not to take bribes. When that false lawsuit was brought against him, he thought of committing suicide, thinking that there was no use living in such a world where people don't appreciate the truth. Since he was a very good person and initiate, he came to my village to discuss all this with me, and he wanted my advice about whether he should commit suicide. When he told me his story, I lovingly told him, "Why do you feel like this? Why do you consider committing suicide? You will definitely get whatever is written in your fate. And if you want anything, I have 50 kilos of land here and this house, which I can give to you." I touched his feet and I told him, "Don't try to end your precious life." When I told him all these things and when I offered him the land and the house, he was soothed and he gave up the thought of committing suicide and he again started living his normal life. Many years later, after a period of 15 years, he came back to visit me after having been promoted to the district superintendent of police. And he brought with me many of the other policemen, brought with him many of the other policemen. The people who used to live with me at that time had seen him as a police inspector, which was a lower rank. But when he came as a high officer along with the other policemen, they didn't recognize him. So he asked the people here, "Do you recognize me?" And when the dear ones said that they didn't, he replied, "I am the person who was offered the land and the home by Sanchi. His offering changed my life, and I am here to see him." You can imagine how much it affected me that he offered me all those belongings. We will leave off at that point. And this is a letter that that Baba Sawan Singh wrote in October of 1927. It's addressed to dear daughter and son, so I presume that this is a letter to the Bronx. So Sanchi Sawan Singh says, "Dear daughter and dear son, the karmic theory has been written out in some detail. In case you find it ambiguous in some points, please write them again. The real thing lies within. Its description outside will always be imperfect." So evidently they've been corresponding with Sawan Singh asking about karmic theory. So continuing, he says, "Some of the points raised in your letters of May 8 and August 28 have been answered in the second part of this letter. I quite see your point. We are all very busy people. We seem to feel that time will eventually do what we fail to do in the exercises. In America and Europe, the struggle for existence is very acute. The high standard of living requires hard work for long hours, and very little time, if any, is available for sitting in peace and bringing the mind at peace, a struggle which surpasses all struggles. In this nerve-wracking activity, the keenness to subdue the mind loses its edge. The high expectations of rising up spiritually get a setback. The exercises soon become a matter of routine, if not altogether given up. Mind conveniently lays the blame somewhere else. The mind has deceived. It has not played its part. The guru had been waiting all along to receive it at the eye focus. If it had risen up to that point, and the guru had not given it the lead, it would have been quite justified in blaming him. But guru is pledged to take it up. At the time of death, when it will have finished its wanderings, it will perforce come up to the eye focus, and the guru will receive it as his own and play his part. We are not justified in blaming the guru or the system. Honesty demands that we should take the blame on ourselves. Only unalloyed devotion to a cause has ever brought success. But human nature is the same everywhere. A real seeker is rare. With blessings from Father, yours affectionately, Sawin Singh. And the next section is an enclosure titled Karmic Theory. The Supreme Creator and the individual spirit in the creation are connected together through the sound current. But Kal, also a creation of the Supreme Being, separates the individual from the current by coming in between as mind and forms. Hence, the individual feels disconnected, but not so the Creator. There are three minds, and corresponding to these three minds, there are three kinds of forms. 1. In Trikuti, the Nijman, or innermost or causal mind, or Brahm, and the universal mind cover the spirit. The forms here are made of very pure Maya, so much so that a majority of the seekers have failed to see here the spirit apart from mind or Maya, and therefore they considered Brahm as all-pervading, etc. 2. Lower down, in Sahansdal Kanwal, the forms of Trikuti get another covering of mind and form, both coarser than the above. The astral form here being governed by Andi Man, or astral mind. In this zone, there are the hells and the heavens and numerous other lokas, or regions. Here, the tendencies of the mind are directed inward and are elevating. This mind behaves like a wise enemy seeking to keep us here. 3. Further down, in Pind, the region below the eyes, the astral form gets another covering of coarse material with which we are familiar. The mind that governs this form is called Pindi Man, the physical or lower mind. Its tendencies are outward and diffusive, and it is most difficult to control. Now, a body actuated by mind and spirit cannot help performing karma. And the karmic law, as you sow, so shall you reap, continues to work. And the account is complicated with time. The more one works, the greater the entanglement, like a bird struggling in the meshes of a net. So cunningly has Kal arranged the snare of forms and minds that it is well nigh impossible to escape from their influence on these minds and bodies. No matter how good and godly we may be, that alone will not take us out of these regions. Says Lord Krishna, good actions are as much binding as bad actions. Good actions may be likened to fetters of gold, and bad actions to those of iron, and both are equally efficient in keeping us tied. The escape is through the sound current. Only when the attention catches and follows the current does the mind become dormant and out of action. At all other times, when the attention is off the current, the mind gets the upper hand. Through long and indefinite time, ever since the spirit separated from its ocean and associated itself with the minds and bodies, not only has the upward passage been blocked, But the spirit has been so bewildered, entangled, and enfeebled that it has lost all memory of its home and is contented to live a wretched life in this wretched material world. There are two ways of looking at this creation. One, from the top, looking down, the Creator's point of view. And two, from the bottom, looking up, man's point of view. From the top, it looks as though the Creator is all in all. He is the only doer, and the individual seems like a puppet, tossed right and left by a wire puller. There seems to be no free will in the individual, and therefore no responsibility on his shoulder. It is his play. There is no why or wherefore. All the saints, when they look from the top, describe the creation as his manifestation. They see him working everywhere. Looking from below, or the individual viewpoint, we come across variety as opposed to oneness. Everybody appears to be working with a will, and is influenced by, and is influencing, others with whom he comes in contact. The individual thinks that he is the doer, and thereby becomes responsible for his actions and their consequences. All the actions are recorded in his mind and memory, and cause likes and dislikes which keep him pinned down to the material, astral, or mental spheres. According to his actions in an earlier life, in the cycle of transmigration. The individual in these regions cannot help doing actions, and having done them, he cannot escape their influences. The individual acts as the doer, and therefore bears the consequences of his actions. As stated above, the observations differ on account of the difference in the angle of vision. Both are right. One, the individual, clothed in coarse material form, sees only the external material forms. His sight does not go deeper than that. Two, if he were to rise up to Sahanstalkanal, the same individual would see the mind actuating all forms. The form would be only secondary. Mind would be the prime mover in all. Three, the same individual from Daswandwar will see the current, the spirit current, working everywhere, and will see how the mind gets the power from the spirit. And four, from Sach Khand, the whole creation looks like bubbles forming and disappearing in the spiritual ocean. An individual is endowed with intelligence and does every action knowingly. It is therefore incumbent on him to find a way of escape from this entanglement. To raise his spirit, he must struggle against the mind, for he lives by struggle. And where there is a will, there is a way. He cannot say that this is no part of his duty. The karmas are also divided into three groups. One, kriyaman, or new actions. Two, pralabdh, or fate, the portion of karmas allotted to this life as a result of our previous actions. And three, sanchit, or the reserve. As an example, we take the case of a farmer. He prepares his land for sowing the seed. He has the option to sow whatever he likes. Suppose he decides on wheat, and he sows it. The crop matures, and he gathers it. Some of it he keeps for his consumption during the coming year, and the surplus is put in store. Year after year, He is living on the previous year's gathering and increasing his reserve in store to be utilized in time of scarcity or need. You will see that he is living and hopes to live on what he himself sows and gathers. Similarly, whatever we do in this life becomes our fate for our next life. And some of this is kept in reserve by Kal, to be given to us if by any chance, and of course these chances are practically nil, we might run short of karma. Without karma, Kal cannot keep a spirit down in a body, and without a body, no karma can be performed. It is open to Kal to add from the reserve to the fate or deduct from Kriyaman for the reserve. Like the farmer who is preparing his land for the coming season and is living on the gatherings from the last season, with a confidence based on his reserve, we are undergoing our fate, in which we have no choice. But we do have the choice to work anew as we please for our future. And we have a surplus, which is our reserve from past lives, of which we now have no knowledge. We are, therefore, at present, doing a dual function. A, in regard to fate, we are helpless. But B, in new actions, we have a free hand to sow for the future. To distinguish between these two types by intelligence alone is not easy for the individual, but a rough rule may be laid down. That which comes in spite of our efforts and spontaneously is due to fate. But those whose attention is concentrated and who have access within can read their fate easily. It is an open book to them. Now, in the physical body, actions are done by the mind from the heart center. As long as the mind is centered here, and in ordinary individuals the heart is the center of mind action, it will be influenced by emotions. The sensations of joy and sorrow will be felt as the body is worked by mind from this center. When the mind has been elevated to the eye focus by concentration, in other words, when the mind has changed its seat or center from the heart to the eye center, then the feelings caused by outward influences working on the physical body will be felt imperceptibly. The joys of the world will not elate such a one, and its sorrows will not depress him. The fate actions are stored in the eight-petaled lotus in Anda, above the eyes. Their influence is felt forcibly as long as that center has not been crossed. When that center is crossed and the master's astral form is seen, for that form resides there, the influence of the fate actions will be perceived nominally. The mind has then become strong, and it has the power to bear them without effort. But fate cannot be effaced or altered. It has to be undergone. An arrow, after leaving the bow, must find its mark. The reserve actions are stored at the top of Trikuti, and only when a spirit has crossed the third mind or Trikuti is it said to be free from all karma. Below this, the spirit suffers from the ills of karma. All actions are performed with a motive, and it is the motive that is binding. It is not easy to conceive of an action which is performed without a motive. The mind is consciously or subconsciously active, and it's ridiculous to talk of karma without a counter-karma. There is no escape from counter-karma. By doing actions, however good, there's no escape. Charity, offerings, or pilgrimages must bring their reward, and the soul doing these things must receive the reward in one body or another. The escape from karma lies in the protection afforded by the saints. They are themselves karma-less. Their actions are not binding on them, for their spirits work from Dasandwar, a center above the three spheres of mind and forms, as stated above. And the saints show us the way out. They say, let new actions be performed in the name of the Master, the individual working in the capacity of an agent only. The new actions done in this spirit will not be binding. The fate actions will have to be undergone by the time the life comes to an end. The reserve actions, saints partly take upon themselves, and partly they are undergone by the devotee as the saints think proper. Saints put the individual spirit in touch with the sound current. And as the spirit catches it and rises up, it throws off the influences of mind and matter and gets stronger and stronger. The more the individual works on these lines, the easier the path for him. Otherwise, the course becomes lengthy, but the saints are pledged to see him through after they have initiated a soul. The practice of the sound current cuts the rest of the karma. The current acts like a magnet on the spirit. It attracts the spirit to itself, and if the spirit were not covered by the rust of mind and matter, it would go up like a shot. The rust of attachments and impressions is removed by the repetition, the simran. The repetition of thoughts of the journey within replaces our everyday thoughts. Then the mind, instead of wandering outside, begins to take rest and peace within. And when it goes in, the spirit also goes with it. And when the spirit is in, the current, in its turn, pulls it up. Once Trikuti has been crossed, and this will only be when all karmic accounts are settled, the soul never goes back into transmigration. It will go up to merge in its origin. And our final reading, we're continuing in a satsang that Master Kripal gave in April of 1963. This was called, Why Don't You Follow the Guru? And Master is taking a hymn of Swamiji. So we'll begin with the lines from the hymn. Wife, children, friends, are the thieves who rob us of everything. Why are you sleeping among them? Now Swamiji pulls us out of a sense of deep stupor and awakens us to the naked reality of the great illusion. He tells us that if an honest person happens to be among pickpockets, there's every possibility of his being robbed. As we are all sleeping soundly in the company of cutthroats, how can we be safe? Now, who are these dangerous miscreants? They are no other than one's children and kith and kin, the loving relations to whom we are so devotedly attached all the time. You may be a little surprised to hear this, but just think calmly for a moment. If a dacoit comes and takes away all our goods, yet we are saved. Another comes and plunders everything, and also breaks our legs, and we are still saved. The third one comes and takes away our life as well. So who is the most dangerous of all these? Surely the third one. Our children and other dear ones always command our attention, which is the outward expression of our soul. They keep us always engaged in one form or another and leave us no time for the spiritual way. So they are the most dangerous dacoits in this form. Does this mean that we have to leave our hearths and homes and lead the life of a recluse in the jungle? No, it is not so. Please realize that it is your inner cravings and fondness that keep you bound hand and foot, as it were, to your dear ones. And this attachment or infatuation makes you worried and miserable all the time. You see, the very ties of affection, which should be a source of happiness, become fetters of bondage, as you are always in the grip of fears, which, to say the least, are imaginary and baseless. The heart, as you know, is the seat of the Lord God. It is an asset entrusted to us for a higher purpose of life, namely, self-knowledge and God-knowledge. Where the heart goes, everything follows on its own. So herein the Master warns us against our attention being directed always toward our worldly relationships, which always cause distraction and disturbance. You know very well that the impediments which stand in the way of the child disciple and recklessly intrude upon him in the precious moments of holy meditation are the family ties that drag us down again and again from the seat of the soul, the eye focus. We have, of course, to live in the world, yet in a completely detached manner, just as a lotus flower, which grows out of the mud, holds its head aloft and above the muddy pond, retaining its pristine purity. Similarly, we are to attend to the mundane duties entrusted to our care, without being concerned with the worries and cares of our relations, who, apart from us, are sufficiently protected by the gracious Master Power. You can very well understand it by a simple example. A man traveling in a train has a box beside him on the train. Now, both the man and his box are being carried by the train. If the man were to put the box on his head, he would surely be a fool, for he would break his neck for nothing. This is exactly the state of affairs with the worldly wise. We generally lack faith in the gracious Master Power and unnecessarily create problems for our bondage, as otherwise everything would progress smoothly in the well-established divine plan. You might well have noticed that disturbed waters do not reflect. Always try to resign your precious little self in favor of the gracious Master Power while sitting in your holy meditations, and thereby prepare a receptive ground for the inner grace divine to descend upon you and fill you in abundance. And again from the hymn, "Why, O man, do you not think gravely? The world is truly not lasting, but impermanent." Here again, another divine fundamental has been expounded. It has a very deep significance. The masters say, "Know ye for certain that the great panorama of life is constantly changing, and that the world is surely an illusion. For, after all, it is not a place for permanent living." The scriptures also tell us the same thing. "Lead us from the unreal to the real, from falsehood to truth, and from darkness to light." We usually do not pay heed to these sacred scriptural truths. But the Master, who is a liberated being and stands aloof and apart from the world, does see that everything in the world is constantly changing. Nothing is stable and steady. You can understand it from a simple illustration. A man standing on a riverbank sees some people drifting downstream in a rudderless boat. The man standing on the bank can see vividly that the boat and the persons therein are going downstream and cries out for help so as to save them. The people sitting in the boat cannot see the person on the shore, and they look at the boat and the water around it, which are moving at the same speed, and so they seem to be stationary. They remain unconcerned and continue with their idle pleasures in which they are fully engrossed. This is exactly the state of affairs in which we are. We are in souled bodies and are identified with the body, so much so that we consider ourselves as bodies. Our bodies and the world are made of matter, which is changing at the same speed. As the particles of the world and the bodies are changing at the same speed, to those who behave at the level of body, the world appears as stationary. Thus, the learned and the unlearned both are under a grand delusion. The worldly wise do not care to pay heed to the gospel of the Master, who, like a person standing aloof, is witnessing this drama of human havoc as vividly as we see each other. But the people at large fail to respond to his compassionate call. So, the Master affirms with conviction that this place is not the place of permanent abode for your soul, but a halfway house for a limited period, assigned to you for the higher purpose of spiritual perfection. If you will view these things from this lofty viewpoint, you will find that our life has been as futile as anything. It is a matter of deep concern for each one of us, and we must assess the position carefully before it gets too late in the day and we are forced to fight a losing game. We will continue that again. And before the tape, I want to read a short message, the same as I read last week. It says, "To preserve the gift of satsang, please maintain silence and sweet remembrance after the satsang, for your benefit and out of kindness to others." And last week I made some remarks on that on my own, and I want to add a little more this time. That request extends not just to standing around and talking after the satsang, especially in the hall, but also to the Sunday lunch, the langar. Part of the reason for bringing this up, in one of the recent retreats, one of the guests who had come from afar spoke to us about how, I don't know who it was, he or she, had found the Sunday satsang Longar at the end of the retreat, well, boisterous and loud and lots of conversation. And he or she, whoever it was, they felt that they had come to the ashram to take part in the retreat and benefit from the silence and the remembrance and the atmosphere, and felt that they had to find some other place to take their plate, you know, to go to. So we felt that. And so, you know, it's sort of repeating what I said last week. It's not that we have rules. It's that we have common understanding and shared seeing of this place as a place of a special atmosphere. We don't bring the grace here. The master does that. But it's up to us to do what we can to make it a place of remembrance and take the best benefit we can and be conscious of the benefit of others too. All right. This is a satsang that Sanchi gave in group 4 of 1987 in Rajasthan.
ਤੇਰਵਾਜ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਜਿਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕੋਈ ਖਾਸ ਤਵਜੋ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਇਹ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਯਾਤਰਾ ਪੂਰੀ ਕਰ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਪਿੱਛੋਂ ਖੂਬ ਫੈਮਿਲੀ ਦੇ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੱਦ ਕੇ ਕੜਾ ਪੂੜੀਆਂ ਖਵਾਈਆਂ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ ਹਰ ਸਾਲ ਫਿਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਸ਼ਰਾਧ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਮਗਰੋਂ ਜਿਸ ਦਿਨ ਉਹ ਗੁਜ਼ਰਿਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਨੇ ਜਦ ऐसी रीति रिवाज देखिया वो कहन लगे अफसोस है जीवत पितर ना माने को मुए श्राद्ध कराही कहन लगे सेवा उही चंगी है जो ज्योंदे माता पिता नू बंदा उना दी सेवा करदा है ए अच्छा नहीं कबीर साहब कहंदे ज्योंदयां दे पेट सड़े मोया पिछो कड़ा चढ़े
इन इंडिया इन द हिंदूज इट इज स्टिल अ ट्रेडिशन इन सम फैमिलीज where they do not take good care of the parents in their old age, but after they leave the body, what they do, they invite all the members of their families and they make delicious foods and they feed them with all that food, and every year they perform a ceremony called Sharad in which they make very delicious food and feed to other people also. When Kabir Sahib saw all this, he said that it is not a good thing that you appreciate the parents only when they have left the body, but when they were alive, you did not even feed them. He said that it is not a good thing that when they are alive, you make their stomach to burn without the food, and when they die, you cook the halwa for the other people.
Sar Vachan Panna 116, Chetavani Bhag Dusra Shabd Panjwa. मित्र तेरा कोई नहीं संगियन में पड़ा क्यों सोए इन ठगियन में चेत कर प्रीत करो सत संग में गुरु फेर रंग दे नाम अरंग में
स्वामी जी महाराज कहंदे है तू ठंडे दिल ना सोच के देख जेड़े अखाना देखदा है ए कुड़म कुटुंब दे विचो तेरा कोई मित्र नहीं तेरा कोई दोस्त नहीं सब आपो अपने गरजां दी खातर प्यार करदे है की कर तू जाग इना दी असलियत नू समझ सत्संग दे अंदर जा अगर सत्संग दे अंदर तू प्रेम प्यार ना श्रद्धा ना जाएगा तो गुरु तेनु निर्मल रंग प्योर रंग दे विच रंग देवेगा
स्वामी जी महाराज लविंगली सेज दैट ओ मैन यू पेशेंटली एंड विद कूल हार्ट लुक एट ऑल द रिलेशंस यू हैव विद दिस वर्ल्ड आउट ऑफ ऑल दिस रिलेशंस देयर इज नो वन हु रियली लव्स यू हु इज रियली योर्स बिकॉज दे ऑल लव यू बिकॉज ऑफ देयर ओन इंटरेस्ट एंड यू डोंट गेट अटैच टू देम You go to the satsang. When you will go to the satsang, what will happen? Master will make you realize the reality of all these relations, and he will dye you in the pure color of the Na.
ਅਸੀਂ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਹੁੰਦੇ। ਸਾਡਾ ਪੱਥਰ ਔਰ ਪਾਣੀ ਦਾ ਲੇਖਾ ਵਰਤਦਾ ਹੈ। ਸਤਸੰਗ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਰੇ ਚੱਲ ਚੱਲ ਕੇ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਪੱਥਰ ਔਰ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ, ਪੱਥਰ ਆਪਣੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਾਣੀ ਨੂੰ ਜਜ਼ਬ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਣ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਗਾ। ਸੰਤ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਚੀਜ਼ਾਂ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਿਕਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਰੰਗ ਸਾਡੇ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਚੜਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ, ਵਿਛੇ ਬਕਾਰ ਹੈ, ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਸਾਮਾਨ ਹੈ। ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਵੀ ਛੱਡਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਗੇ। ਫਿਰ ਸਾਡੇ 'ਤੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਨਿਰਮਲ ਰੰਗ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਚੜ੍ਹੇ ਔਰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਅਸੀਂ ਹੋਈਏ।
ਵਾਈ ਡੂ ਵੀ ਨੋਟ ਸਕਸੀਡ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਪਾਰਟ? ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਐਸ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਅਵਰ ਕੰਡੀਸ਼ਨ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੀ ਕੰਡੀਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦ ਵਾਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਸਟੋਨ। We are not different than the story of the water and the stone. What happens that no matter how long the stone remains in the water, it does not absorb even a drop in it. In the same way, no matter how many times you go to the satsang, we all go to the satsang taking long journeys, but we do not absorb any word of the master like that piece of stone which does not absorb any water even though it always remains in the water. Usually in the satsangs, masters talk about those things which have enveloped us, like the indulgence in the sensual pleasures, the worldly things and all the attachment of the world. But we are not ready to give up even one single thing which the masters want us to do. So how can we expect that the pure color of the Naam which the master wants to apply on us will be applied on us, and how can we expect to die in the color of the Naam?
ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਂ ਸਾਡਾ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ। ਹਰ ਆਦਮੀ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਨੂੰ ਬੜਾ ਸ਼ਰਧਾ ਨਾਲ ਸਤਸੰਗ 'ਚ ਲਿਆਉਂਦਾ, ਨਾਮ ਲੈਂਦਾ, ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਵੱਧ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਧ ਸ਼ਰਧਾ ਦਿਖਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜੋ ਬਿਮਾਰੀਆਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਲੱਗੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ ਹਨ, ਜਦ ਸੰਤ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਛੱਡੋ ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਹੋ ਜਾਓਗੇ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਤਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ।
ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋਟ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਨੋਟ ਦ ਲਵਰ ਔਰ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਨੋਟ ਲਵ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਔਰ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਨੋਟ ਹੈਵ ਵੈਰੀ ਲਵ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ। ਵੀ ਆਰ ਦ ਲਵਰਸ, ਵੀ ਲਵ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਅ ਲੋਟ ਆਫ ਲਵ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਆਲਸੋ। ਐਵਰੀਵਨ ਕਮਸ ਇਨ ਦ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਵਿਦ ਅ ਲੋਟ ਆਫ ਲਵ ਐਂਡ ਫੇਥ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਬਟ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਟੂ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਆਲ ਦੀਸ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਟੂ ਅਚੀਵ ਦ ਸਕਸੈਸ, ਵੀ ਆਰ ਨੋਟ ਰੈਡੀ ਟੂ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਈਵਨ ਵਨ ਥਿੰਗ।
ਚੇਤ ਕਰ ਪ੍ਰੀਤ ਕਰੋ ਸਤ ਸੰਗ ਮੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਫਿਰ ਰੰਗ ਦੇ ਨਾਮ ਅਰੰਗ ਮੀ ਧਨ ਸੰਪਤ ਤੇਰੇ ਕਾਮ ਨਿਆਵੇ ਜੋੜ ਚਲੋ ਇਹ ਚਿੰਨ।
ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦੇ ਆ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਧਨ ਪਦਾਰਥਾਂ ਦਾ ਤੂੰ ਮਾਣ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਮੇਰਾ ਇਤਨਾ ਬੈਂਕ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਮ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੈ, ਮੇਰੀ ਇਤਨੀ ਜਾਇਦਾਦ ਬਣ ਗਈ ਹੈ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਇਹ ਤੇਰਾ ਫਜ਼ੂਲ ਇਮਾਨ ਹੈ, ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿਸ ਵਕਤ ਸਾਹ ਦੀ ਗਤੀਵਿਧੀ ਰੁਕ ਜਾਣੀ ਹੈ, ਇੱਕ ਸਕਿੰਟ ਲੱਗਣਾ ਹੈ, ਇਹਦੇ ਵਾਰਸ ਕੋਈ ਹੋਰ ਬਣ ਜਾਣਗੇ।
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਆਲ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡਲੀ ਵੈਲਥ ਵਿਚ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਪ੍ਰਾਊਡ ਆਫ, ਲਾਈਕ ਵੈਨ ਯੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸੋ ਮਚ ਵੈਲਥ in the bank, I have so much property and things like that. It is all useless to have pride of all these things because you do not know that when your breathing will stop, it will just take one moment for you to leave this world and you will leave everything here and other people will become the owners of all the wealth which you are proud of now.
Main kai taniyan di halat dekhi hai aakhri waqt ਉਹਦੀ ਜਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਬਣੀਆਂ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ, ਉਹ ਗਿਰਗਿਟ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਰੰਗ ਵਟਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਘਰ ਵਾਲੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਵਸੀਅਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰੀ ਅਜੇ, ਉਹ ਫਲਾਨਾ ਧਨ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਬੈਂਕ 'ਚੋਂ ਕਿਤਨਾ ਹੈ, ਤੂੰ ਕਾਪੀ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਦੇ, ਤੂੰ ਸਾਡੇ ਨਾਂ ਕਰਾ। ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੋਚ ਕੇ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਕਿ ਉਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਉਹ ਕੁਛ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕਈ ਐਸੇ ਵੀ ਦੇਖੇ ਹੈ ਕਚਹਿਰੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੰਜਾ ਚੁੱਕ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜੀ ਇਹ ਸਾਰਾ ਕੁਛ ਇਹਦਾ ਕਰ ਦਿਓ, ਉਹ ਬੋਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ।
ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸੀਨ ਦੀ ਕੰਡੀਸ਼ਨ of many wealthy people when they are about to leave the body, what happens that all the family members are around him, and that poor guy is suffering a lot, he is changing his colors, but what the other people are doing, they are bothering him, they are saying that you have not yet written your will, you have not transferred that money in our name, what about that account, what about that money which is in that bank, why don't you transfer that in our name? That poor guy cannot do anything, he is helpless there. but still all the people are bothering him. And I have seen many people taking the old people, those who are about to leave the body, taking them along with their bed to the courts so that he could transfer the property or whatever he has in the name of his relatives.
Kabir Sahib, pyar na kehnde hai, kaudi kaudi jod ke, jodya lakh karod, marti varya re nara lai langoti tod.
Kabir Sahib says that working very hard, you have collected so many, collecting penny after penny, you have collected millions, but when you are dying, you are only taking an underpant with you.
Sahna sampat te kaam na aave, chhod chalo yeh jinni, aage rehne andheri paari, kaaj karo kuch din mein.
आप कहने लगे देख प्यारिया अगे बड़ा लम्मा चौड़ा रास्ता है गहरा है ऊंचा है टेढ़ा है मेढ़ा है सब कुछ ही है और उस रस्ते विच बड़ा अंधेरा है आपा हुण भी ज्यादा खां मीचदे हैं अंधेरा है ना अंदर दिसदा ना कुछ बाहर दिसदा है तो स्वामी जी महाराज कहंदे है कि तू नाम दी कमाई कर ताकि उस जगह नाम अपना प्रकाश करेगा गुरु तेरे साथ हो जाएगा वो तेनू वो अपने प्रकाश ना नगा के ले जाएगा इस वास्ते स्वामी जी महाराज प्यार ना कहंदे है कि प्यारिया अगे बड़ा कठिन रस्ता है संता महात्मा ने बाणी सिर्फ सानू डराउण वास्ते नहीं लिखी समझाउण वास्ते लिखी है महात्मा दी बाणी ना रोचक हुंदी है ना भयानक हुंदी है ना उहना दी बाणी सिर्फ जथारथ हुंदी है समझाउण वास्ते हुंदी है.
Now he says, look here, oh dear one. Further ahead, the path on which you have to travel is very long, it's very deep, it's very uneven, it's very crooked. It is a very difficult path, and over there it is very dark. You know that even here when we close our eyes, we do not see anything but the darkness. It is very dark inside. Unless we have the light, we cannot walk on that path. So that is why Swamiji Maharaj lovingly says that, dear one, do the meditation of Naam, so that your master may become pleased with you and he may manifest in your within, so that with his light he may brighten the path for you, and in that light you may walk on that difficult path, because that path on which you have to go is very difficult. The writings of the Mahatma, which the Mahatmas have written, they have not written the writings only to intimidate us. Whatever they have seen in their within, whatever is the reality, they have written down only that much. The writings of the Mahatma is not amusing. It is not intimidating, it is the reality which they have seen.
Aage rehne andheri paari, kaaj karo kuch din mein, yeh dehi phir haath na aave.
स्वामी जी महाराज सानू प्यार ना कहंदे है कि आ मौका जो परमात्मा ने बड़ी भारी दया करके इंसान दा जामा दिता है एक बारी हाथ चो निकल गया होर जामे बथेरे 84 दे विच मिल जाणगे पशु है पंछी है दरखत है सप है बड़िया बड़िया लम्बिया उमरा है और एक एक उम्र का अगर लिहाज लाइए एक एक खाणी का बड़ा वक्त लगता है इस वास्ते संत महात्मा प्यार ना स्वामी जी कहंदे है कहंदे ए देही तो सिर्फ नाम जप के फायदा उठा सकते हैं अगर ये मौका हाथ चो खो दिता तो 84 विच जाना पड़ेगा.
स्वामी जी महाराज लविंगली टेल्स अस दैट दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी ऑफ द ह्यूमन बर्थ विच यू हैव बीन गिवन इज अ वेरी रेयर अपॉर्चुनिटी बिकॉज If you will not take advantage of this opportunity, you will have to go in the cycle of 84 lakhs births and deaths. In that cycle of 84 lakhs births and deaths, you will get many different bodies of the birds, animals, trees, snakes and other creatures, other beings. And if you count all the years which you will have to spend in those bodies, in those species, it will come to millions. So when you have got this human birth, a rare opportunity, the only advantage you can take of this rare opportunity is by doing the devotion of Shabad Naam. If you will not take advantage of this opportunity of the human birth by doing the bhajan and simran of the Naam, you will go in the cycle of 84 lakhs births and death.
Kabir Sahib kehnde hai, Dev so gawaya khed ke, raat gawai soye, heere jaisa janm hai, kaudi badle jaye.
Kabir Sahib says that you have spent, you have wasted your day in play, and you have wasted your night in the sleep. You got this precious human life which was worth a diamond, and you have wasted it in the exchange of shells.
यह देही फिर हाथ न आए फिर चौरासी बन में गुरु सेवा कर गुरूर जाओ आओ तुम इस ढंग
की करो जो गुरु तुहानू दसदा है उस ते चलो उंदी खुशी प्राप्त करो अगर जिंदगी दे विच कोई अच्छे तो अच्छा साधन है अच्छे तो अच्छा जो कार्यक्रम करन वाला है वो यही है कि गुरु दी आज्ञा दा पालन करना जो रास्ता गुरु दसदा है ईमानदारी नाल सच्चे दिलों उस उपर चलना.
What you should do, you should live up to the teachings which the master is teaching you. And whatever he tells you to do, obey his commandments, obey his words. If there is any best thing which you can do in your life, is obedience to the master. Whatever master shows, whatever path the master shows you, to walk on that is the best thing in this life.
Sant Sadhguru.
We'll close our satsang with Sanchi's bhajan, Guru Kirpal Mere Garda Anna, page 248. O Guru Kirpal, come to my home. Just like you are fond of Sawan, so I am fond of you. Whoever has meditated or remembered you with a true heart, even for once, with both your hands full, you have given him your love. My string is in your hands. You are the companion of my life. You are the devotee of devotees, and it's not good for you to reject me. I am fond of you just like you are fond of Sawan. Oh, dear one, you enjoyed the contaminated berries of Shivri. Giving up the good, delicious food of Duryodhan, you preferred to eat the simple food of Vidur. I am not only your servant, O Satguru, I am the servant of your servants. Just like you have protected the honor of everyone, protect my honor also. I am fond of you just like you are fond of Sawan. O Satguru, how do I call you? I do not know. I do not have any knowledge. I do not have any style. I do not know. It is not in my hands to call you. O Guruji, moment after moment, my eyes are thirsty for your darshan. This is the request of Ajab. Please do not let me suffer anymore. I am fond of you, just like you are fond of Sawan. O Guru Kripal, come to my home. Just like you are fond of Sawan, so I am fond of you.
Guru Kirpal Mere Gare Aana, Guru Kirpal Mere Gare Aana, Jais Tum Sawan Diwane, Me Tera Diwana, मैं तेरा दीवाना गुरु कृपाल मेरे करे आना गुरु कृपाल मेरे करे आना जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने मैं तेरा दीवाना मैं तेरा दीवाना एक बार भी सच्चे मन से जिसने तुझे दिया बार बार चोली दोनों हाथों तुमने प्यार लुटाया एक बार भी सच्चे मन से जिसने तुझे दिया बार बार चोली दोनों हाथों तुमने प्यार लुटाया मेरी दौर हमारे हाथों तुम मेरे जीवन साथी तुम मेरे जीवन साथी तुम भगतों के भगत तुम्हारे ठीक नहीं मुझको टुकराना ठीक नहीं मुझको टुकराना मैं तेरा दीवाना गुरु कृपाल मेरे करे आना गुरु कृपाल मेरे करे आना जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने मैं तेरा दीवाना मैं तेरा दीवाना शिवरी के जूते पैरों से प्यारे तुमने माचा उताया दुर्योधन के मेरे तज के संग विदुर का काया शिवरी के जूते पैरों से प्यारे तुमने माजा उताया दुर्योधन के मेरे तज के साग विदुर का काया केवल दास नहीं हूँ सतगुरु मैं दासों का दास तुम्हारे मैं दासों का दास तुम्हारे जैसे सब की लाज रखी है मेरी भी लाज रखाना मेरी भी लाज रखाना मैं तेरा दीवाना गुरु कृपाल मेरे करे आना गुरु कृपाल मेरे करे आना जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने मैं तेरा दीवाना मैं तेरा दीवाना कैसे तुम है बुलाओ सतगुरु पता नहीं है ज्ञान नहीं किसी तरह का कोई तुका पार मेरे पास की बात नहीं कैसे तुम है बुलाओ सतगुरु बात नहीं है ज्ञान नहीं किसी तरह का कोई तुका पार मेरे पास की बात नहीं, पल पल के तरशन को गुरु जी प्यासियान के तरस रही है, प्यासियान के तरस रही है। यही बेनती है अजाए बाकी मुझे नहीं तदफाना, मुझे नहीं तदफाना, मैं तेरा दीवाना। गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना, गुरु कृपाल मेरे घर आना। जैसे तुम सावन दीवाने मैं तेरा दीवाना, मैं तेरा दीवाना।
ओ गुरु कृपाल, कम टू माय होम, जस्ट लाइक यू आर फॉन्ड ऑफ सावन, so I am fond of you. May God bless us all.